You know that ridiculous way pet owners talk to their animals?
Who's my boy? You want a potty for daddy? Yeah, he's the best dog in the world.
Yeah, you won't hear any of that here. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a first-time guest on the line, Marilyn Krieger, who is a certified cat behavior consultant who is known widely as the Cat Coach. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Marilyn, other than being on just all different kinds of TV shows, Cats 101, I saw you were doing your training on, and you've written articles and books and what have you. How did your passion for cats come about, and how did you go into the line of work that you're in?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I've always, like a lot of people, have loved cats and have been involved with cats. And I used to work in the high-tech industry, and while I was there, I started reading everything I could about cats and cat behavior, and then thought, boy, you know, I need to be certified. This would be a wonderful thing to do, perhaps, to help cats. I also, the thing is, too, I saw so many cats being surrendered to shelters, because I've been volunteering at our shelter as a behaviorist. So many cats being surrendered to shelters for very fixable behavior problems. I knew something had to be done. So I became certified. I actually became certified in 2006.
So all of this has came from that. I would say that you've taken it with quite a charge.
Yes.
That's fantastic. You know, one thing I'd like to do is just start the conversation with trying to understand the world with regards to a cat's world, and what is it? Is there any one thing that you can kind of like say if people understood about cats, the training process for cats would be a whole lot easier?
Well, first of all, cats can be trained, easily be trained, and behaviors can be modified. And that, unfortunately, is why cats end up in shelters and euthanized, because cats, people don't seem to understand that behaviors, unwanted behaviors, can actually be fixed. The other thing, too, to realize is that when cats are doing a behavior, an unwanted behavior, they're not being bad. There's not such thing as a bad cat. They are doing a behavior because of something that is stressing them, something that's going on in the environment, or there might even be a medical cause.
Now, one thing that I'm wondering is, there's a lot of situations that I'm sure you had while you're working with the shelter, and it comes up all the time in my line of work, introducing cats to cats, kittens to cats, cats to kittens. Could you give us a perspective from the cat's view of what we want to think about when we bring a new cat into a home, whether it's other cats, dogs, or even other people that are in the home?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, cats are very territorial, and if you just bring in a cat and say, okay, here's your new friend, your new buddy, there's going to probably be problems because this is that original resident cat's home. So when you do bring a new animal in, a new cat, for instance, you want to do this very, very gradually. And it's important that that new cat has their own sanctuary confinement room, because you don't want to stress the cats out, either of the cats, so it's done very, very gradually. Actually, what you do is you introduce one scent at a time, one activity at a time. Cats need consistency if you don't just shock them with a new friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, explain a little bit more about that. Is one scent, one activity. As an example, what would be those scents or activities?
Well, the first thing that you do, that you want to do, you have a confinement room for that new cat, and the cat is in there and gets used to you and gets used to their environment. That becomes that cat's room, the new cat's room. Then you start introducing them by, I like to do what are called pheromone exchanges. So you take a, cats have scent glands on their cheeks that produce pheromones. These are friendly pheromones. It's as if I'm going in and saying hi and shaking hands to you, with you. So you take two clean socks and you very gradually and gently pet each cat with a separate sock, and then you simply put that sock in with the other cat where the other cat's area is. And that's the first thing that you would do. And you do that twice a day with a clean new sock.
And that go on for 3 days or a week? Or
depends on the cat. It can be a week. If the cat seemed to be fine around the sock, then you go on to the next phase two, the next activity. You're still doing the pheromone exchanges, but food is a great social lubricator. So the goal is for the two cats to eat on each side of a closed door of that confinement room.
Okay.
But you start it by having the food dishes way away from that closed door, and then every day you move it 1 inch closer, each food dish 1 inch closer to that closed door.
After a couple of weeks, you're having them nearby?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And again, you only can progress as fast as the cat who's having the most problems with it. If there's one cat that is refusing to eat, then you're going too fast and you need to back the food dishes away.
Okay. So it could take a month. Could take a couple.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And then what's next?
The third phase, you're still doing phase one and phase two. You know, the pheromone exchanges and the food on each side of the door. Then what you, if they like to play, and sometimes you can do phase three, it depends on the ages of the cat and the situation with the cats, but you try to encourage them to interact underneath the door. You put a double-sided toy, like an original cat dancer. You put it underneath the door and encourage them to play with each other.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, and I'm familiar with the cat dancer. That's a very popular little item. Okay, and then after they're interacting back and forth, they're actually, when, even though they're on opposite sides of the door, do they know that there's another cat on the other side of the door? They understand
Absolutely.
That, don't they? Yeah.
Oh, yes, they do.
Okay, and then lastly probably would be the introduction to each other. This whole time, we haven't even introduced them yet, right?
Well, they have. They've already been introducing themselves
sure,
to each other.
Sure.
By the way, there is one other thing. There's a couple of other steps that I like to do. I have this concept of Switzerland, and it's a room, if you can do this. You can't always depend on the setup of the house. If there's a neutral area that the cats can be in without being with each other, so in other words, they would take turns being in this one room.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yep, but you don't let, cat A will never go into the sanctuary room of cat B, nor cat B into cat A's sanctuary room.
Okay, that makes sense. And then one more neutral area, and that might go on for a few days or a few weeks?
Yeah, it
or the whole time, right? It can go on the whole time, can't it?
Right, and you want to make sure that you have plenty of vertical territory, high areas for the cats, because what they'll do, they're not going to be together in that area, but they'll start marking their territory by rubbing these areas and starting to establish, well, they have a flexible hierarchy, so they'll start to get to know each other that way, too, with through scent marking. But phase four is the scariest phase of all, and that's where you back the foods way away from that door, way back, and then you're going to feed the cats at the same time with the door open. And you have to stand there, though. At the first sign, you really have to know the cat's body language. If it looks like that one of the cats is going to stalk and go after another one, or the other cat looks like she or he's going to run, you close the door.
Okay. But they would each be probably eating on their own respective sides, though, is what...
Oh, yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And the food then is not right next to each other, but it's backed away from that door.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you gradually increase the time with each meal. If the cats are okay with it, you increase it by 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes. That's amazing. Okay, so I'm on four. I'm with you. Now what's next?
Well, you just you gradually increase that time, and you have supervised visits, and you want to be there. And you want to make sure that there isn't going to be an altercation, because if an altercation happens, then that sets you back.
Mm-hmm. Right. That might drop you a few weeks. Okay. Now, let's. I think that helps us a lot. And the next one I would think would be a little bit more, I guess, close to home and commonly an issue would be in that whole idea I have to get rid of the cat would be the concern about having a new baby or issues surrounding a new baby. Just comment a little bit about that, and just so the listeners might have a perspective on that different than what they maybe sat down listening to the show.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. First of all, it's before the baby comes, you want to start doing the work. And And I have a lot of clients who contact me as soon as they know they're pregnant, or maybe they're just a few months pregnant. It's important to counter condition and desensitize the cat to the new baby before the baby even gets there. You see, when a baby cries, it sounds like a baby is supposed to sound like this, an animal in distress. That's, you know, called survival. All little baby animals sound like they're in distress, but mm-hmm. that can trigger stress with a cat. So the first thing I do is I ask people to get recordings of newborns. Mm-hmm. And they start by playing it very, very softly and for short periods of time. And you reward the cat and reinforce the cat around that by clicker training, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, or by giving the cats treats. If the cat shows any sign of stress, you're going too fast and you need to back it back and start gradually. So you want the cat to get to feel comfortable around the sounds of crying of newborns. So that's the first thing. You're going to gradually increase it. And it might take a week or two until it's up to the sound level of new babies. Now, also, too, cats need consistency. So people have to think about their schedules, and this is very, very hard to do when you have a new baby, but try to feed the cat at the same time every day and play with the cat. You don't want to neglect that cat just because there's a new baby in the house. You also want to make sure that you prepare the environment for the cat. So you have tall, high areas, lots of high areas the cats can go, refuges, that will be toddler-free zones. And so that way the cat can feel safe.
No, I that is fantastic. I appreciate that. Lee, you want to?
That's great information. Marilyn, we're going to need to take a break. But after the break, we'd like to bring you back and talk a little bit about your book, Naughty No More, and talk a little bit more about the clicker training that you just mentioned. So that's where we're going to go right after the break here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
If you're out of the listening area, you can hear our show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link. Got some ideas, suggestions, questions? Email us at mmpets@1320WILS.com. Join our Facebook page at Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. You can upload your own pictures, make comments, and interact with other pet enthusiasts.